is all a matter of opinion. Share yours. 01514720967. It's the Legends on Radio City and Radio City Talk.
Good evening. 6:30 on a Monday. No Old Owen Sharpie. The international break is well and truly in effect, but do not worry. We have Mark Lawrenson and Leon Osman for your delights tonight. Welcome, chaps. We okay?
All good.
Where are they, by the way, those two? Do we know?
Wherever is Aldo? who can track the man
when
down?
When he was playing.
I'm sure there's a San Miguel located somewhere near him at this very moment
Stanley
in time.
Miguel.
Believe me, he booked it in a while ago. Great to see you, Aussie. Your Legends debut.
Yeah, good
you're
to be here.
Bit nervous?
No, I think I'm all right, thank you very much.
You're a big boy now, aren't you? We put it out on social media earlier. We said, did anyone have a question for Aussie? We got a deluge. A lot of them were the same things. What's he doing now? Why is he not
That's
playing
first,
footy?
First thing I said to him.
Has everyone asked you this when they see you?
Constantly,
Constantly.
I'm enjoying myself, if I'm being honest. I'm getting to watch a lot of kids' football on a Saturday morning, which I haven't managed to do for years. And keeping in shape, so I've not given up hope of maybe continuing to play football, but you know, I'm a family man now who's just looking in the northwest, if I'm honest.
That's fair enough, though, isn't it? You're 35, aren't you? So you're at that sort of stage where... Laura, did you have this at a point where you didn't want to travel a long way to go to a new club, or did you simply just finish?
No, okay, well, I finished at 29, didn't I?
Oh, injury.
Snapped my Achilles,
Of course, injury.
So I'd have been travelling. Still.
How long did you go on for, though? What age do you sort of decide to hang it all up?
I reckon if you stop enjoying it. But everyone says, just keep on playing. It's one of those things, isn't it? If you're not enjoying it and it hurts, what's the point?
Yeah, I'm still enjoying it. Or I was.
Come to North End. I'll get your trial.
Hi, that's the next step, I think.
That's what we had Stephen Gerrard on the other week, and he was saying how he still hasn't decided what he was going to do, because basically he said the closer I'm getting to this idea of sort of stopping playing at Galaxy, he says the more I want another year because I don't want to be outside of the dressing room. Do you get sort of ingrained in that culture? Is it almost addictive to be part of the dressing room, the football dressing room?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you know, when you step out of football, that's the thing you miss the most. You know, I've been quite lucky that I'm still training on a Monday, Wednesday, Friday with Hibbo, an old fitness coach of ours, and a morning presenter, Mark Whale, off the radio as well. And, you know, we're still getting a bit of banter and keeping in good shape and enjoying that. So although I'm out the football circle at the minute, I'm still getting the camaraderie that you crave.
It's amazing, you know, because you can... Like people like Stevie Nicker, we never ever see the old team, and then occasionally comes over. Within 2 minutes, it's just like being back in the dressing room. Mm. That is the best thing, because you go through so much stuff, both good and bad, and the stories, and it's great.
You fall back straight into the routines of who's the comedian and who's the other roles that you take up, and it's amazing how quickly you fall back into the routine.
So what's Hibbo?
Hibbo's the one who tells me off. He's quiet, tells me when I've got over the top with my jokes. I tied his laces together this morning, and he weren't happy.
Tied his laces. So for you, there was no more sort of training regime as soon as you'd finished?
Because
Achilles went, you didn't think to yourself, right, I'll give it a year and get back into absolute tip-top shape?
Well, I couldn't. That's why I finished.
It just simply was never going to happen.
I went to see this bloke who basically was based in Oswestry, and he taught people to walk again after serious car accidents, and I did 2 days with him. Just did a series of exercises, good Achilles, bad Achilles. And he just, on the Friday afternoon, never forget, he said, come see me at 4 o'clock in the office, knock on his door, go in. And he said, are you insured? And I went, yeah, and he went, take the money. I was the first person ever to be insured by Liverpool, by the club. And I said, yeah, he said, take the money. And I went, yeah, but I could play, couldn't I? Because I'd played that season and got another winner's medal. And he went, yeah, but... He said, you're right, Achilles, he's 25% down on your left. And he says, you know what'll happen? He says, you'll do your left. And he said, if you do your left, A, he said, you'll never play anyway. And B, he says, you might be in a wheelchair. Well, you don't say that often, do you? And it's like, whoops. So I was done.
You grabbed the money and you ran.
Well, I'm not sure I grabbed the money. But the next day, I went and see Kenny, because Kenny was managing, and told him I finished. I was Oxford United manager the next day, youngest ever in the old Division 1.
Things happen for a reason, don't they?
Yeah, yeah.
Look at you now. Broadcaster extraordinaire.
Yeah. Stuck in here on a Monday.
You can talk to either of these guys. One is fitter than the other. 015-1472-0967. Dave will take your calls, Leon Osman. And, of course, tonight we're going to talk a little bit about, where you're going to go next, because people will come on and ask that. But also your experience in the dressing room. And, Laura, whatever you want to talk about with Laura, might be next Monday. Of course, the Manchester United game lies ahead. Do you know the referee is?
Tell me.
Did it ever matter to you who your referee was in a game?
It did, yeah.
Yeah, and did you look at it sort of the week coming up to it and think?
You did find out early, but there were some referees as Evertonians we certainly didn't want. Referee in our next game.
Who is it?
Right, well, me and Aldo constantly moaned about this fella.
Come.
Anthony Taylor. Manchester referee. He's from Withenshaw. And he's refereeing Liverpool against Manchester United at Anfield.
I'm not even worried about his... He's just not a good referee.
Well, should it be allowed? We've had this conversation before. Why is Mike Dean not allowed to referee a Liverpool game?
Yeah, very, very good comment. But they have to say who they support, don't they?
Mm.
Yeah, it's to do with areas and who you support. And yeah.
He might be a City fan.
Oh, yeah, closet. Closet City fan. Who didn't you like? Go on, Ozzy.
John Moss. Yeah,
What was it about the way he officiated a game?
He just wouldn't let you talk to him. You know, I'm from a while ago now, and the referees at first, you could talk to them and you could have a little bit of banter with them. He was having none of it. Well, get away. Telling you just to get out of his face, walk away. And it just enraged you more, to be honest. And things didn't usually go right when he was refereeing us.
So that's why they like Clattenburg, is it not? That he took.
Oh, we don't like Mark.
Oh, do you not like him? I thought most of the pros like him because you can talk to him.
Right.
Well, to be honest, I don't get on too bad with Mark Clattenburg personally. Mm. He refereed quite a few reserve games a long time ago when we were both coming through, and he ended up in the Premier League. So I got on well with him, but after the Derby game, where you know, he certainly sided with your team that night, Laurel.
Disgraceful.
That afternoon. He's not been back at Goodison too often.
And our producer Dave is just reliving 2007 when he gave a penalty against Tony Hibbert, and he says he was talked into it by Stephen Gerrard.
And the red card.
Sure.
And then he didn't give a penalty for us on Carroll pulling Julian Lescott in the last minute as well. We remembered it all.
Not that it's still in the memory. Was there any refs that you both thought, right, I can really get into his head?
I never talked to referees.
Ever?
Never bothered me. It's just, what would you waste your energy talking
to referees
for? Did anyone back
then?
Yeah, oh, crikey, yeah. Yeah, it was a bit different because Leonardo's a midfield player, so you're always in there. You just play at the back, you just go, whatever, innit?
Yeah, right. I couldn't help talking to the referee. I'm constantly in the referee's ear. Sometimes, you know, you sort of work out what kind of referees they are, and some days you're constantly being on at them, trying to maybe influence a decision. And other days you're thinking, I've got to be nice to this one, or he's given us nothing today.
I played with a fella who had the most influence over referees ever, ever, ever.
Liverpool player?
No.
Preston
Bobby Charlton.
Oh, right.
Unbelievable. He just like put his shout for a throw in, and the referee would just go, oh, yes, Sir Bobby, no problem. Have it.
So it matters if you're a big figure on the pitch.
Well, I think in those days, he was like a god, wasn't he? So very, very, very much in those days, yeah.
Oh, well, Leon played with some gods in his time.
And dogs, if you put them round the other way.
Right, we asked Ozzy, and we also asked Lauro for their best 11s. They were allowed to include themselves in it. So best players they played with. We'll do that in a moment or two. Let's just start with your reflections on where Everton are up to this season, Ozzy. What are we thinking?
Steady start. Before the first international break, it was a fantastic start. Since then, we had a bad 10-day period, I think, and knocked out the cup and a draw and a defeat. So it's time we got back on track again. But the signs are all promising that it could be a really good season.
And definitely so for Liverpool. Yeah, you have to say, and bar that Burnley blip, I mean, Liverpool showed everything that sort of would have you believe they could be title contenders.
Well, I think most definitely. The other thing as well is, have you seen their last probably 7 or 8 fixtures? I think they play Everton and City, and then the last seven, if you're going for the title, are all winnable. I mean, they're obviously all winnable if you're playing well, but they're seriously like Stoke, Palace, Middlesbrough, all those kind of teams. So they've done Chelsea, Arsenal and Tottenham away. No Europe. And they're bombing, aren't they?
So Klopp could be the man to bring the first Premier League title. to Anfield?
Could be.
Yeah. Do you believe that? I don't necessarily mean this season. In the next five seasons?
I think they'll go very, very close.
Right.
Yeah, I really do. But, I mean, Europe's massive. Isn't it?
In a hell of a
Yeah, that's the worry. Last time they didn't have Europe, you know, they were second in the league, bar a slip. Mm-hmm. They could have won the league, so...
Can you tell the differences when you were playing? You had the your European experience and not playing in Europe.
I think we could. We had, under David Moyes, we had a small squad. Yeah. So the same players were playing Sunday, Thursday, you know, Saturday or whatever it might have been at the time. And, you know, I think once you get to about February, March, it does seem to be a little bit harder to fly back from a far country and then perform to the level you need to beat a team you're expected to beat at the weekend.
And also, if the team you're expected to beat haven't played in the week, happy days for them, isn't it?
Right, let's get to the phone lines. It's the Radio City Legends. We've got Ozzy and Laurie. That's a combination of the two. Ozzo in tonight. It's 6:41. Let's take our first call. It's Darren, who's an Everton fan in Kirby. Evening, Darren.
Good evening. How are you?
Very good. You're through to Ozzo. Ozzo.
Oh, my life.
Ozzy and Laurie. It's gone to pot this. Go on. His moustache. He was talking about the moustache memories.
I didn't have mine for long.
What do you want to talk about, Darren?
Ronald Koeman and the Norwich game and the side he picked, despite coming out saying, you know, we're going to go all out for these cups this year. To me, he kind of burst the bubble a little bit that night. The next home game was flat, and I think that maybe have been a result of that team selection and going out the cup against Norwich. What do you think?
Yeah, possibly. You know, I think him coming out and saying that he was really going to be going for the cup and making as many changes as he did, as you say, left the stadium flat when we got there. You know, we were still expecting that team could win the game, but you know, it wasn't to be on the night. And you know, I certainly believe it could have led to the next game. You know, the way the stadium feels. You know, when you get there and you're thinking, It's going to be a great night. We're going to breeze through in the cup. And if you're not playing your strongest team, then you start to worry. I mean, as I said, though, the team he selected, you'd still expect to win that game. That's the thing. It was still a strong enough team to beat Norwich on the night, but they didn't perform and didn't take the chances. And, you know, when you've got a team who's full of momentum and winning the games as we were to that point, sometimes taking them out and resting them isn't beneficial for the team.
I think also as well, I think sometimes for supporters, it's like it's almost like saying, well, we're interested in this competition, but we're not really interested. I'm with Leon. Just, you know, how many games had he managed before then? Five?
Possibly,
six?
Yeah.
Whatever. Just play a really strong team again. And listen, you know, if you're having a really good run and you're winning a competition like that, maybe win the next game, but you're having a really good run and it looks like you're going to, you know, get in Europe and stuff like that. In the end, you can kind of maybe play a weak side in one of the cup ties. Why wouldn't you want to win it?
I think the fact that we weren't in Europe, you know, you tend to find that if you're in Europe and you've got these at games as well and them games, you do tend to mix the squad up enough as much. But I think on that occasion, well, I think hindsight will tell you that, you know, the team selection was probably wrong that night.
It's not hindsight, though, is it? It happens every single season. No matter what manager comes in, they end up doing the same thing. They play a week inside. They put all of the first team players on the bench. They go a goal behind, and then we send the big fellas on, trying to rescue a game. Why not win the game first, and then take them off?
I'm with you, Darren. I'm absolutely totally with you.
I agree. What I will say now is Ronald Koeman's got himself a decent-sized squad there, and I think in the modern game, you know, you've not got 11, 12 players trying to compete to start in that first team. You've got 18, 19, and I think that, you know, a manager's now got to look to make sure that all the team's happy. You know, if you've only got 11 players that are happy, you're going to have a lot of negative vibes around the club of people that necessarily aren't playing. And what managers tend to do nowadays is try and freshen up, keep everyone involved and make sure everyone's part of that squad for when they're needed. And, it certainly backfired that night.
Has there been a far different emphasis on cup competitions and the league for particularly Everton over the past 10 years?
We should be going out to win cups. We're not going to win the league, are we? Let's be honest. That leaves the two cups. We should be going all out to win one of those two cups every single season, but we don't.
That's a desire from fans. You know that, Ozzy.
I'm a fan myself. Yeah. I'm desperately disappointed we've not won a cup in the last 10, 15 years, you know. So, You know, I'd always wanted to send the best team out. I'd always want to be in it as well. You know, but, you know, it's the managers are paid to make them decisions. And, you know, I think maybe they're looking at the whole season and trying to get the best out of the team. But I think might come back to, I hope it comes back to it one day, that if I was the manager, I'd be sending my team out to try and win the cup.
Well, squad management, Lauro, is a funny thing, isn't it? You know, you were talking then about what you do with a squad, whether you include everyone, sure, whether you give players on the fringe a go. It's an odd thing. Liverpool have done it to some success. It doesn't always work.
It doesn't always work because you get so many egos as well nowadays. But the other thing, the opposite side to the story would be, imagine if they'd won against Norwich with a strong team. Mm. And if you're out of the team, you don't go and knock on the manager's door, do you?
No,
because they're winning.
Of course not.
And it's a bit like, you know. So, I don't know. I think, as Darren just said, Everton aren't going to win the league. And there's only one or two teams possibly going to win the league. So why wouldn't you want to win the cup, at the very least?
Darren, brilliant. Thanks for your call. We're going to leave you there. You'll have to ask it after the break. So hang on right there. We've got to hit it at a certain time. It's 6:45, Radio City and Radio City Talk. It's the Legends, with Leon Osman. And, of course, tonight as well, Mark Lawrenson. So the pair of them, you can get in touch, 0151-4720-967.
Our Merseyside Legends. Call now. 0151-472-0967. Red and blue. Banter and debate. The Legends. Radio City and Radio City Talk.
It's 6:51. This is The Legends with Mark Lawrenson and Leon Osman. We were going to get another question from Darren, but he's disappeared. Let's just take a couple of these tweets. Let's do them quick fire as they've come in. Jordan says, would Leon consider playing abroad at some point?
Tenerife FC, maybe. I like it out there.
a bit of sunshine. That sounds like
Real
an easy
Mallorca,
life.
For in the second
Real
division,
Mallorca.
La Liga.
Yeah,
that's
yeah very interesting.
I can sort that for you, by the way.
I'll need someone to look after me, Lauro, as well.
So I know someone at Mallorca.
Have you got an agent? Lauro's free. John Kerry Shields says, how does it feel leaving Everton? It was a shame given the circumstances.
Yeah, I was disappointed to have left. But football moves on, life moves on, and you know, you've got to now find the new.
How many years did
challenge.
You do?
From when I very first signed, I'm 25.
Wow! Imagine if someone told you then you'd be there for 25 years.
Yeah, I signed on at 10, and then signed full time 16. Been there since.
Craig Prince, do you fancy doing some coaching? Are you in the coaching stage yet in your head?
I am. I've already got my B licence. Now hoping to try and finish my A licence.
With the FA or with the Welsh FA?
With the Scottish FA.
Ah, why have you done that?
Moisey sent me up there while he was still at Everton. Went up there and started it.
Has a few gone to Scotland to do
it? Yeah, before I got my England cap, so didn't go down too well with the English FA.
Your England cap. Your caps.
Oh, sorry, cap.
Caps,
yeah.
It's two, yeah, isn't it? Yeah, I said when you came in and we were talking in the office, I said, when was your last cap? I said, stop taking the Michael out of me, will you?
You said it like I had 50 caps.
We'll talk about England in a moment or two. And what's your favourite goal? Neil Brimmage has asked this.
Oh.
Personal goal.
As opposed to what?
He might have been watching.
What about the one you didn't score?
Yeah, the one that nearly scored. No, it's got to be one I scored against Portsmouth in my first season at the Gladys Street end, last minute, 1-1, and a half volley left foot in top corner.
Okay.
Gladys Street end.
Right, let's get back to the line. So we've got a very excited Paul, who's an Everton fan in McGull. Evening, Paul.
Evening, boys. You all right?
Evening.
Good.
Good stuff. Ozzy, first and foremost, mate, thanks very much for all your service you've done to Everton FC. And first and foremost to all the young, like, whippersnappers who are coming through, who think they've made it before they've had. You've had to work hard, lad, and you've had, like, barracking off the air fans. You've got through. No, I'm being serious. You've got through it all, mate, and you've been a top servant. And you've changed games when you've come on. And I've said to my lads, when they've turned around, they've said, like, certain players, they just went, he is the ultimate pro. So that's like the serious gratitude to what you've done to Everton FC, mate, over the years.
Well, thank you very much, Paul. The money's in the post.
Not a problem,
thank you,
mate.
Very much.
You know the address, don't you?
Right, come on, get to your point. Stop just praising him.
No, it's true, though, isn't it? You got to be honest. Second one, Ozzy, obviously, you look at the squad which Ronald's got now, and I know he's like built it up himself, and he's still going to do a lot more. Are you honestly envious that when we had Moyes in that, we didn't have the money to spend. The opportunities of where we're going forward, or I believe as you, as a devout Blue, you'll be made up for where we're going.
Yeah, but both, to be honest. I'm disappointed that this stage in Everton's development, while you, you know, with getting a new owner who's got money, and the club seems to be splashing the cash, and, you know, I certainly feel we're going places. I'm delighted for us as a club. You know, on a personal note, I wish it had happened 4 or 5 seasons ago, so I could have, you know, really been involved in it. But, you know, I'm not going to be bitter about that. I had a career I wouldn't really want to change at Everton. You know, things went great to have me there for so long. I wish we could have won something, but, you know, the way the club's looking at the minute, it looks like it's in good hands. It looks like it's going in the right direction, and I'm made up as an Evertonian, but disappointed as a player.
Superb, mate, superb. Nice talking to you, Ozzy.
Cheers, thank you.
Good stuff, thank you very much, Paul. Right, I asked the boys before they came in the studio for their best 11s that they played in. I insisted they put themselves in their team. So let's start with Lauro.
Well,
did you put yourself?
Team. No.
But why not?
It's a bit called self-aggrandisement, isn't it? Putting yourself in the team.
Okay, all right. I might squeeze you in. I'll have you on the subs bench, but go on.
Okay. Brucey in goal. I didn't really play with any other top goalkeeper, to be honest.
Well, it's interesting. Both of you had a question mark over goalkeepers.
Well, no, it wasn't really a question mark. It was because, I mean, Clem left the day I signed for Liverpool, so he obviously saw something.
And that was the 81 Cup final, wasn't it? Immediately after the European Cup final,
yeah.
Clem decided he was
Real Madrid.
Didn't
he? Yeah. Do you know Del Bosch played for Real Madrid that day? Did you know that? Vicente. Yeah. There you go. My back four, Nobby Styles. Showing my age, aren't I?
Played with Nobby?
Yeah. Big Al. Hanson. Right. Tomo. Could have been Gary Gillespie. I just... Tomo. Stevie Nick. And then my four across midfield are... But you'll need about 6 balls for this team, to be honest with you. Sir Bobby Charlton. Suey. Charlie.
Wow.
Johnny Giles. Liam Brady. That's my four across midfield. And then Kenny and Rushy up front.
Straight 4-4. That's an impressive 11, isn't it, Ossie? Are you listening to that and thinking, how's my 11 going to come out alongside this?
Well, I thought it was who he played with at Liverpool.
I thought
you played with at Liverpool. You know, I'm sure Sir Bobby didn't play for Liverpool in there.
Lauro was a cultured man. He went all over the place. You decided to stay in one place for a long time.
I did. I just chose my best Everton team.
Why were you having such a problem with your keeper then?
Because I think Nigel Martin was a fantastic keeper, but he was coming to the end of his career, and I got to see Tim Howard at his peak, and we played together for so long that I went for Tim Howard in goal.
When Tim finished his career at Everton, it's fair to say he had a pretty bad time, didn't he, in his last year?
He did.
Maybe that relationship with the fans and everything else, it all sort of boiled over.
He did. Now, I hope the fans don't remember that.
Now they forget stuff
that about him.
Yeah.
You know, because Tim came, and when he came, he was a good goalkeeper, but, you know, I think in Roberto's first season, he was phenomenal that season.
Moisey nicked him as well for nothing, didn't he?
He did, on the cheap. I think what happened with Tim, though, I think he was asked to... He was great with his hands, and I think he was asked to do things that he weren't really capable of, all the ball playing. You know, football started to need the keepers to pass the ball and to start the passing from the back, and Roberto certainly asked for the keeper to get involved, and it weren't really Tim's game. And once he started making a couple of mistakes with his feet, it affected his confidence, and he went down, but it was a fantastic goal. Mm.
That's what all Premier League clubs want now, isn't it? That's why the change at Liverpool's taking place.
Sweep
with
the keeper.
Karius coming in for Mignolet. Isn't that hard to adjust as a keeper, to become a bit more
well,
of a sweeper?
Well, I mean,
keeper?
There is that old adage, which is, why do you play in goals? Because you can't play out. Wasn't it? No, that was a big thing. So, I mean, you're starting from behind the black straight away, aren't you? But it's definitely coming in. Well, Joe Hart.
It's in vogue, isn't it? Right, let's get through your back four.
Right back's Hibbo. If I didn't have him in my team, I would never hear the end of it. But he's also one of the best right back I've played with defensively. I don't think many people have ever beat him 1v1. Centre halves, I've gone John Stones because I see the potential in him.
How good is he?
I think he's got the potential to be England captain for a number of years. I said that a few years ago after he'd been with us for only a season that. I see the potential in him. He's got such confidence in himself. You know, we've all seen that. when he's played, and defensively, I think he's going to keep getting better for the next 4 or 5 years. So I don't think he's a finished article yet, no. But he's certainly on the right track.
People have made that comparison with your mate Jockey as well, mm-hmm. though, haven't they? It's a hard one to live up to. Can John Stones be an Alan Hansen?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I would agree with Leon most definitely. Because he's got that other side of his game, which is far more difficult to have. The defensive side, you just, with experience and maturity, you know, you soon learn. Yeah, he's already a top player. Game's easy for him.
Yeah, he makes it look so easy. He's got so much time on the ball. And, you know, when you usually get centre-halves like that who just want to play football and defend, they're not very aggressive, where John will be aggressive as well. You know, he'll go up and win a header and stick his head in and get it in the face with it. So... yeah, I think he's got all the makings of being a top player.
Okay, who's your left back? Sorry,
50 million, knowing it. It's already top.
Cheap from what you're saying.
Phil Jagielka, centre half as well.
Right.
Leighton Baines, left back. Stephen Pienaar's going to have to be ahead of him, obviously.
Yeah.
My centre midfielders have gone for Gaz Barry and Tommy Graverson. And
Thomas Graverson. Come on, tell us the Thomas Graverson story.
My dog Tommy.
He was a lunatic, wasn't he? I saw him breaking the speed limit in his little micro bubble car once or twice.
He did. He bought that because he didn't want to pay insurance on a big size car, so he bought himself a purple Nissan Micra and drove it. He drove it around for ages.
Why did Madrid sign him?
Because he got free insurance with a Nissan Micra, so he got it.
I never believed Real Madrid bought him.
And apparently now he's a multi-millionaire. Yeah, he's living out of Vegas or something.
He started a company and sold it for... like 85 million or something like that.
You still in touch?
Unfortunately not. No, I've been trying to get hold of him, but he's not taking me calls.
But is he happy?
No, of course he isn't, Laura. Right, who else in the midfield?
Mikel Arteta on the right.
Mm. What a gent he was as well.
Top guy. And I played Tim Cahill just off Wayne Rooney. That's my team.
Rooney.
Would Moisey not have signed most of those players for relatively small fees and made money on them?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 he signed. He brought Wayne. I think
Wayne was
his
already
debut.
There, wasn't he?
Yeah. But he gave him his debut.
He signed Bainesy?
He signed Stones. Howard, Stones, Jagielka, Baines, Pienaar, Arteta, Cahill. And Rooney brought to him.
Tell you what, that's good going, isn't it, in the transfer market? And that's what Koeman has to live up to now. Right, it's 2 minutes past 7 o'clock. We'll have another short break. We'll take lots more of your calls in a moment or two. It's the Radio City Legends.
This is the home of red and blue banter and debate. Call now. 0151 472 0967. It's the Legends. On Radio City and Radio City Talk.
It's the Legends with Mark Lawrenson and Leon Osman and myself, Steve Hothersall. 6 minutes past 7 o'clock. Right, Jurgen Klopp, year in charge of Liverpool now. Mm-hmm. So the anniversary. We touched on it before. Is it going to be a manager that brings the Premier League title? But in 1 year, he's done a fair bit of work, hasn't he, Laura?
He has done a fair bit of work. I would say another two transfer windows as well. What I like about him is the fact that no one else is going to make a decision for him. Mm. If you think about the left-back scenario, and Milner's just gone and played there and done fantastically. The only problem is, of course, if he gets injured. I think they've got a really good chance of pushing Manchester City this season. I really seriously do. We talked before, not being in Europe is a massive thing. And they've all these players have bought into this thing. I think the thing with Liverpool, I don't know whether Leon agrees with me, but they are as good without the ball as I've seen for a long time than with the ball. I went to the Hull game. All right, Hull weren't very good, but I tell you what, you wouldn't have wanted to be a Hull player playing that day, because it was just, as soon as you got the ball, you never got your head up. I thought they were great. And he's got attack-minded players closing the opposition down like you'd never believe.
Yeah, Liverpool are fantastic without the ball at the minute.
Oh.
He's got Firmino, who's come over from Brazil, who you think he's going to be a flair player, number 10, and he's charging around the pitch like a madman. You know, and for a manager and for a midfield behind him, you know, it's fantastic to see. It inspires you, and you follow him in where he's charging, and you go win the ball back.
No one talks about Sturridge, do they?
Well, they don't now, do they? No. And Klopp's come out with this line, and he said, we don't have a recognised number 9 or a number 10. We just have players that sort of move around and fit into any position.
But the thing about them, Steve, as well, is that they've all got a trick. that they're all quick enough. All right, Lallana's not the quickest, but he's quick in terms of his head and making decisions and two-footed. And at the moment, they're all scoring and making goals.
I think if you teach players or you coach players the positions you want filled, these are the roles I want filled, and whoever's closest fills them, then that seems the way he's gone about it, and whoever's closest fills the position, and it's working fantastic for him.
He does a lot of it with mannequins in training, doesn't he? With dummies, basically. And I think that, from what I can gather, they're in different coloured shirts, so red, blue, yellow, black, for instance, and he'll just go black, and you've literally got to sprint at the black mannequin as if he's got the ball. And apparently that was part of pre-season. It's just something he does all the time.
That's a bit crazy, isn't it? I haven't heard that before.
Well, you can see he's a bit crazy, can't you, in a nice way?
Oh, in a brilliantly nice
mad
way.
Mad professor.
He celebrated his year at Liverpool by playing bowls, didn't he, last week? Have you seen that? In Southport, didn't he? Went down
Formby.
The local bowls club.
Formby.
Yeah. Which I thought was quite nice. And apparently he volunteered to do that.
Well, my mate met him in the pub a few months ago. My mate lives in Formby as well. And on a Tuesday night in this pub, or Tuesday day, it's like all you can eat for a tenner or something. And my mate, he's a football fan, but he said Klopp just came up, stood next to me at the counter, ordered something. My mate said, good in here, innit? And he went, good? Klopp says, good. He said, why wouldn't you come in here? £10, all you can eat? How good is that?
Where is that? I'm unemployed at the minute.
He bought off the two-for-one menu. He'll find Aussie in there. Right, let's get back to the phone lines. We got David, who's in the city. Evening to you, David. Welcome to Legends.
All right. Just wanted to say thank you to Leon for all the service. I don't phone up any phone-ins. Listen to a few, but of a user on that front, but Ozzy, you've been a great servant to the club, and I just want to come on here and make that known.
Thank you very much. I'm going to run out of money at this rate.
Yeah. That's lovely. What sort of memories of Ozzy have you got, David?
Well, if you're ever in Mossy Hill, mate, the rolls are by you, I think. But just one question, though. You talked about the Blues team that you would have played with, but outside, and please don't mention any Liverpool players, who would you have liked to have played with?
On a regular basis, I think Thierry Henry.
Really?
Yeah, I think, as a midfielder, wanting to play passes in and wanting to put your striker away and stuff like that, I think having him playing ahead of you would have been fantastic. You know, even if you're over it a pass, he's probably getting it. And making a goal out of nothing. And I just think that type of player could potentially win you the league, certainly a cup on his own. To have had him in our team at any point would have been unbelievable.
It shows with football supporters is that they love people who've been there years and years and years because of the way that football's gone and is going. And I bet you'd have 100 people ringing up saying the same thing.
I enjoyed it. I thought it was interesting the caller we had earlier who said you'd had your ups and downs and the crowd would give you a little bit of stick as well at times. And it's funny, isn't it?
You know, one of them, wasn't he?
Look at what Wayne Rooney's going through at the moment. You know, record goal scorer for England, on his way to being record caps holder, still gets booed for the national side. And crowd are a funny thing. We mentioned Tim Howard as well.
Can I just say something? Have you been to an England game? If you go to an England game, Steve, the supporters are from Fleetwood, Halifax, Grimsby, Lincoln. You don't get all the top club supporters going to watch England. If you just look at the flags, England's a bit different. England's a bit mad, isn't it?
Mm.
And yet, you know, England were awful in the Euros. Wasn't it full the other day against Malta? What does that tell you?
Well, I get that, but then look at Aussie and look at, say, a great servant like... look at Ross at the moment. Ross is having a tricky time, isn't it? Some sections are giving him a little bit of a tough time within the home support.
Yeah, but
it's not always easy, is it, Aussie?
No, it's not easy. Don't you think with him,
sorry to cut across you, it's because everybody knows what ability he's got and they just want him to be every single week that player that he can be.
I think he's becoming it's becoming a problem for him, as you said, because of he's a victim of his own success, sort of, you know, he shows what he can do, but... You know, it's. I think he's one of them players that will light up the whole game one week and then, you know, typical winger from years ago, they light up the game one week
and then they'll
drive you mad the next. Yeah. And,
is it tough
Roberto Martinez was prepared to was prepared to stick with that. That, you know, I'll keep him in the team because he'll do it one week and he might nick me something the next. And Ross played every minute because he stuck with him. Whereas Ronald Koeman now is saying, okay, you have to do that more consistent, or you're off, as he showed the other week. You know, if you're not gonna do it, I'll hook you. And you know, maybe that's a good thing for Ross's learning curve. Now he'll go away and think, or try and find a way of being more consistent. But
how old is he?
22, yeah. So he's
23 in December.
Just another 10 years at the top. Yeah.
Is it a bit unlucky? Tougher being a local lad coming through, and you could probably count yourself as that.
I would say, if I'm being completely honest, at first it's absolutely fantastic. Yeah. Everyone's wishing you well and loves it. But as time goes on, you become the guy. You become easy to, you know. As you said, I went through a few tough times here. You become a guy that's easier to not to blame. That's not the right.
You become a fall guy.
Yeah, you become a fall. I know people before me. I remember Unzi was one for years.
Unzi
and people like that. You know, we've all gone through it. And but you know, it's mad. You know, being the local guy, you then come out the other end like Unzi did, and like I am now, and you get all
the praise,
praise and positive.
Why did you get the stick then? Why do fans give you the stick?
I think it's easy to turn on the local boys, really seriously. Is, and it's nuts when you think about it, because
I think it's because you know how much you care for the club, how much they must care for the club, and you know, other people coming in don't necessarily feel what, you know, they're here for a season or two, and you know, then they'll be off. They might be in for the
money. And on more money.
But when they're off and in and out and looking to further their careers somewhere else, whereas you're here for the club. And I think it's just, you know, they feel what you feel, what they feel, and you completely understand it.
But that's the other thing as well, is I bet you now, when he was playing and playing really well and they bought somebody, not in the same position, bought somebody who'd be on big money, I bet the club didn't turn around to him and said, oh, well, you know, you're as good as this player, wheel up your wages. Doesn't happen, does it?
Well, if they did, my agent must be on a fortune.
That's the daft thing about it. It just doesn't happen.
Right, we'll get back to how good Ross can be in a moment or two. Let's go back to the lines. Richie's a Liverpool fan. He's in Wavertree. Welcome to Legends, Richie. Richie? Oh, there we go. Sorry, that was my
push that button up, Steve.
Evening, Richie.
Sound good evening, lads. You all right?
Yeah, all good.
Okay. The goalkeeping situation at Liverpool.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little bit... not quite grasping what Jürgen's doing here. With Mingley, okay, he had a few dodgy patches last year. This season, when he's been behind the sticks, he's done okay, he's played exceptionally well. He's done nothing wrong for me.
No.
He brings Karius in. Or Karius in?
Karius.
For me, yeah. But for me, he's had two crap games. And I'm concerned about him.
Just watch the language there.
Yeah, I'm concerned about him. Because he's not showing the keeper who he's supposed to have got.
Well, he's only...
I think if you start messing around with your keeper, you can play around your back foot a little bit, yeah. As Ronald knows. But you can't go messed about with your keeper. Now, if this guy has another bad game against the Manx, are we going to swap over again?
Well, it'd be interesting to see if he plays against Manchester United, won't it? So he's played in the two games which we've won. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think...
But, there's a question. But you must know... I mean, you must have seen, surely, them two games where he's got his problems between them sticks.
Yeah, but I have to say, two games at a new club is nothing. And it's such a difficult position to play it really seriously. The other thing is, do we know, does he speak English? In terms of communication with his players in front of him, he'll have never played.
He does. I've interviewed him a few times.
He'll have never played behind that back four before. And I think you've got to, for a goalkeeper, you've just got to give him time. But the other thing is, as well, is that what's Mignolet thinking? Is Mignolet now thinking, oh my goodness, I've got a real problem because it looks like this fella's going to play every week. So he ups his game. And as long as they get a really, really good goalkeeper out of the two of them, I'm not particularly bothered who it is.
I think he'll be not struggling as such, but you know, he's missed the start of the season through injury, and you know, to come into a team that's doing well, and you know, Mignolet's done okay, and now he's been brought in. You know, the pressure's on him, so yeah. I think the new club and all that as well. It's going to take him a few a few games, certainly to start to feel comfortable, start to feel a real part of the team. And you know, I'm sure the manager will probably stick with him for minimum 6, 7, 10 games, and see how he goes after that.
And the other thing is when you're in the dressing room, is you want to be liked, but you want to be liked because everyone knows you can play, and yep. You're a good player. And he's not probably had that yet. He's probably a little bit short on confidence.
Mm.
And we haven't been great defensively, by the way, from set pieces, which isn't all his fault.
Yeah, but he's flapped. He's flapped when he's come.
Well, the other boy's flapped for 3 years.
I know he's flapped, but I'll tell you now, the idea of getting this fella is to stop a flapper. But he's flapped in the two games. I mean, he went down in one situation there as if he'd been somebody that smacked him.
Yeah.
He wasn't even touched. He knew what he'd done. He cocked up and he hit the deck and he went down. All I'm saying to you is that I'm concerned. I'm a little bit fearful. I hope I'm wrong. I hope he gets it right. But I don't think that's the one position you do not mess around with.
No, although Man City have. They might win the league.
He's not started well either, has he?
No.
In that first game.
No.
And I'm sure Guardiola will stick with him.
Yeah. I just think it's a really difficult position and situation.
But once the change has been made, it's quite a sort of decisive. It's a big moment for a manager to change their keeper, isn't it?
Well, didn't he change Karius? He played him, and Mignolet done absolutely nothing wrong.
Yeah,
so I'd love to know what the thought process.
Yeah, but he was always bringing him in. You know, from last season, he decided to bring him in. So it was just a matter of time before he put him in the team, and he found the right opportunity to do it. And to be honest, being a bit bitter here, but I hope he continues to keep on flapping.
Richie, thanks very much indeed, pal. Thanks for your call.
Let's just get back to Ross Barkley quickly. How good can Ross be if we talk about sort of quality and players you've worked with and talent that's sort of, you can see it there. How good will Ross be?
Well, attribute-wise, he's got everything. He's got power, he's got strength, he's got skill and abundance. He can hit it with both feet. He just needs to... I don't know what it is. I think he certainly needs to learn. You know, I think it's decision making. Once he gets his decision making right, potentially he could be one of the best. But you know, that's a massive part of the game.
I think his manager will make him a better player.
Decision making is a massive part of the game. You know, you can be an average player, but you make the right decision every time, and you're a good player. And if you've got all the attributes in the world and you make the wrong decisions, you're not necessarily classed as a good player. So, you know, as we say, you can't keep saying this about a player, but he is still young. He's had, this will be his third different manager, and, you know, I'm sure this manager, from what we've seen so far, is teaching the team the right things.
Do you apportion the growth to the manager?
Do what?
Do you apportion the growth to the manager? You're both sort of friendly with Moyes.
I think he's... But the other thing, you know, Ross Barkley came in the team, I don't know how many games he played, 10, 15, 20, and they're saying he's going to Man City for 50 million quid.
Mm.
And I don't care who you are, you might never read the papers, or everyone reads the papers. It turns your head. Mm. Such a young player, it's got to turn your head. It really is. And I really seriously don't know why we do it. It's like everyone's the new Dalglish or the new such and such. You think, no, they're not. They are whoever they are, aren't they?
But the press love to bill it that way, don't they?
They do. I think players morph into managers. You were saying before about different managers, and you know, I think Ross Barkley was a bit tougher under Moyes, and then it was all flair and he didn't need to track back under Martinez. And I think now you'll see him morphing into what Koeman wants, and players certainly change depending on what the manager wants for them. The better players do anyway, I think, because they learn. You know, they pick up new things and you know, they'll be top players, but they'll adapt and they'll learn new things as they go along.
But I think Koeman's a manager who makes players better, which is a sign of any good manager.
Mm.
If he comes in and makes players better, job done.
We touched on Klopp before, but Koeman's effect on Everton should be huge, shouldn't it, in the long run?
Yeah, I think I like him. I just, what about the lad who didn't want to go out on loan? Is he the South American one?
Umani Ass.
Didn't Koeman say the other week, I don't know why he's still here. He obviously doesn't want to play football because he's not playing. I thought that was great. It was like, get off your arse and, you know, go on loan somewhere and, like, learn the game. the fella wants to stay there and not play. Discuss.
Ozzy can't comment.
Well, I know what
friends in the dressing room and all that.
Of course. I mean, get real.
If a manager tells you you know, to go. You go.
You could, of course you do.
There's no point hanging. It's not like, you know, it might be different if the manager's been there three seasons, things aren't looking good, and you think if I hang around another 6 months, he might be gone.
Yeah.